So it's it was Todd. I had a text from Todd on. I get over here better. I got a text from Todd when I woke up Saturday morning. I had a full day ahead of me. We had to go shop for things for a prophetic gathering, and it was a time crunch. And I'm reading this text and it says, "Byron, I'm sick, and you need to fill in for me." And I said, "Yikes! Thank you, Lord." And immediately, the Holy Spirit shared within my heart. He said, "Byron, no problem. I've called you to be ready in season and out of season." And that's for all of us. It's all of us. God is the God that will be there for the moment you need him. And we don't have to worry. We don't have to be concerned. But I just had my son and his wife and the two kids. They flew in from Florida and they were at our house and everything. I said, "I just got to find a quiet corner in our house." And I sat there. I said, "Lord, I want to hear from you, Lord. I want to hear from you." And so here's what he gave me. And we're going to receive it this morning. You got ears to hear?
Yep.
You got ears to hear?
Yep.
Yeah. We have to be there. You got put. You actually put them in there.
Yeah.
Oh, more power. Woo! And we also have to be that place where when God's word is planted, his intention is that it should be received. He's a giving God. He's always giving. He's always giving. You remember that in your life. So, Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this morning. I thank you that this is a day you designed for all of us. I thank you, Lord, that somewhere along the line this week we said we were going to be here. And with expectation that I'm here to receive. I'm here to receive. It's no accident that any of us are in the room. And we're here to have ears to hear and receive. In Jesus' name. I'd like y'all to let everybody know who you are. Got guests this morning? Let everybody know your names.
I'm Jim Porter. My husband.
Steve.
Okay, welcome. Yay. Welcome.
Yay.
So they're here. They made a decision to come here to receive, and we're going to receive. So we're in the second chapter of Thessalonians. And there's a great wealth in here that we asking the Holy Spirit to just reveal and untap. It's amazing. So, right off, you know, it's a it's a letter written about a year maybe after the first letter. As we remember that the church in Thessaloniki, Paul came there and was quickly run out of town. But there was some Jews and Gentiles that came to know Jesus, and the Jewish people that did not receive that put a lot of persecution on the Jewish and the Gentile brand new believers with no one to lead them. Ha! Is that true? Paul wasn't there, but the Holy Spirit was there. The Holy Spirit was there in this little small group of people to reveal truth. And they had to reveal truth under persecution. So Paul wrote the first letter. And then this is part of the second letter. So the reason he says "we" is because it was Paul, Silas, and who? I'm not going to pick another guy. Paul, who was it? It was who?
Timothy.
Paul, Silas. So he's saying we. By the way, you know what? Every Sunday I really got this brainy idea. When I'm preaching and Bruce is facilitating, this is the BB group. Bruce and Byron, right? So this is amazing. This is an amazing Sunday. So he says, we thought ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's church, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. So he had some exhortation to this church in Thessaloniki, a small church in a town of about 100,000 people. And he's saying something to brag about. Do you like people to brag about you? You know, it's all right. It's all right when it's the right thing. He was bragging about that this small group of believers were faith growing. You know, I could say, you know, I could easily brag about TGP and all of you that are here in this room. Because I see a group of people here that are not stagnant, but they're growing. You know, so he's saying, my observation of you all, the Thessalonians, I see faith growing. You know, the question is, you know, sometimes we want to get away from the hard things in life, but it was really them under persecution and stress that caused the result of faith growing. Sometimes the things we don't like are actually a wonderful gift from God to grow. Then, love increasing. Love increasing. It's when we see others and things are going not quite right in our life, and all of a sudden a brother or sister comes alongside of us. That's love growing. That's love growing. So he said, you know what? I'm telling other believers in other cities and towns and where I go, hey, look at those people in Thessaloniki. Look at them. You know what? The only report I have of them is faith growing and love increasing. You know, boy, should that be the identifying of what TGP is, the gathering place? A group of people where faith is increasing and love is growing. You know, it's really a wonderful thing for me as a pastor to between 8:30 and 9:30 in the morning, I call that the power hour. And it's a wonderful thing to have a prayer come out for Jen, and then for me to say, all of you in this room that have the gift of healing, go and do what God wants you to do. And then to hear her this morning say, the pain is gone. That's a church that's faith growing and love increasing. You know, it's a beautiful description of a healthy body of believers. Beautiful. It's beautiful. And then he goes on and says, all this is evidence of God's judgment is right. And as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to those who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction, shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Now, this is a huge subject in the body of believers. It's a huge subject in the body of believers. And we're talking about faith growing, love increasing. That ought to be part, that ought to be huge in our life. Now, what happens? There's things here we can observe in these verses. One thing that is clearly presented is if a non-believer comes and causes you grief. A non-believer causes you grief. He should be, with faith growing, love increasing, he should become an object for you to minister to. But that's not always the case. That's not always the case. And I'll tell you, something really tragic happened this week that I know about. Very tragic. But the people involved are now called for a decision. Called for a decision. And this gets as horrific as it can get. Horrific as it can get. And what is the Christian called to do? Here's a story. A husband and wife got in a car early this week. They were fighting. The wife said, "You're a worthless drunk, and I'm going to divorce you." He got mad and started driving at 100 miles an hour, and she was yelling at him, "Slow down, slow down." And he says, "I don't have to slow down. I don't have to listen to you at all." And he's driving 100 miles an hour. He ran a stop sign and hit one of my brother's family's relatives, T-boned them at 100 miles an hour, killed the mom, the dad, the 22-year-old daughter, and the uncle instantly. And they both survived. Now, the question is, in this verse, how do you respond to something like that? My brother went to the funeral, and the pastor at the funeral says, as difficult as it is, a believer needs to forgive that man. But all too often, as believers in the flesh, we'll say, I could never forgive that person. It's a question whether somebody cut us off on the lane, or whether somebody said something bad about us at the job, or whatever. What is the response of believers? Now, it's really clear here that when it comes to our response, what it's saying here is that's in the hands of Almighty God, and when he returns, justice will come. And justice will come to unbelievers that have done wrong towards us. Follow that? Follow that? Now, we cannot get that mixed up with when a believer does injustice to us. That's where love needs to be increasing. That's where love needs to be increasing. That's when some conversation has to take place to take the Matthew route of go to that brother by themselves and let it know and go through the process. Go through the God process. Not to make a judgment towards the brother or sister. And as far as judgment and justice, God is capable. And the way he does it brings restoration. The way you and I tell you, I'm just as weak as anybody here. When I'm wronged or something like that, you know, the flesh comes, you know, and it says, "Oh man, I'm not going to associate with that person anymore," and everything else, and yet God tempers me and say, hold on, Byron. I'm got it all under control. Your job is love increasing. Your job is love increasing. And then move on, move on. Wow, that's a mighty statement. But here in verse 10, it talks about on that day, on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believe our testimony to you. You know, I think part of that coming of the Lord, I believe we're all going to just marvel at that. And really we're going to see the fullness of our salvation. We're going to see this amazing God that was so patient with us, so loving to us, such long suffering. And we're going to come face to face with the Jesus that bled and died for us. And it's his good pleasure. What does it say here? He says, he comes to be glorified in his people that he made holy. That's his glory, to bring redemption, forgiveness, and love, and restoration. And he is going to have the biggest smile on his face as he welcomes us into his presence. That's amazing grace. That's love beyond comprehension. And you know, you and I, we need to be increasing in that love. In that love that first loved us. That first loved us. And you know, and then he goes on to say, with this in mind, we certainly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he will bring to fruition your very desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. What's he saying here? First of all, while we're living out this life, it's God that makes us worthy. It's God that makes us worthy. And don't ever diminish his love for you. And don't let the enemy ever put you in a place where I'm not worthy. Because you are worthy, and he made you worthy. He made you worthy. He did it all at the cross when he shed his blood. He made you worthy. And the power to do good. The power to do good. And the Holy Spirit kind of led me to 1 Peter chapter 1, 3-11. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. You know, that's the prescription to kingdom living. Kingdom living. If you're struggling with evil, temptation, things to do wrong, have your challenge on every day to God, how can you use me to do good? And if that's your goal, my goal today is to be good. My goal today is to help somebody along the road of life. My goal today is to minister to somebody in need. My goal today, if I run into the sick, I'll lay hands on them for to be healed. My goal today is to bring the God of all light and life into somebody's life. Being goal conscious is really a good thing. But it's funny how the enemy runs when we're goal conscious towards being good. That's my goal. And let him seek peace and pursue it. You know, peace with all people. And then he goes on to say, deeds are promoted by faith. Deeds are promoted by faith. Deeds are, you know, the listing of, I got one here that I'm loving with the Lord is our new sanctuary. And believing God in the Spirit and saying, I'm seeing that new sanctuary built by Him, provided by Him, for His glory, for what He wants to do here. What does that do? That continually, step by step, raises my faith for what I'm asking for. I'm asking for. And it's whatever your challenges in life, whatever your challenges in life, put it out before Him. Give it to Him. Give it to Him and believe. I had that verse this morning. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So if it's not there yet, God will increase your faith as you pursue Him to do whatever needs to be done in your life, and your faith will grow. What was early on? Increasing faith. Increasing faith. And acts of love, right? Sometimes I say my favorite verse. You know what? It's really my favorite Bible. because I honestly have to say that. Because you know, at different times in my life, I'll pick up the Word of God, and there are certain things going on, and I'll pick up a verse I'm not that familiar with, and guess what? That becomes my favorite verse. That becomes my favorite verse. Because it became truth to me on that day to meet that need. But in context of pursuing deeds, working for the kingdom, and doing good and following His lead in life, this is one of my favorite verses. In context of that, and Holy Spirit oftentimes will bring it up to me. And it's found in Hebrews. It says, and without faith it's impossible to please God. So, yeah, God, I want to increase in faith. Because without faith, it's an impossible task to please God. It's by faith we came to Him. By faith we were saved when we received Jesus Christ as our Savior. By faith we got baptized in the Holy Spirit when we said we want your Holy Spirit to have power in our life. By faith. Now it says here, and without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists. That's first in my... I have to believe there's an almighty God, that there's nothing impossible for Him. And I got to have my foundation in that, because whatever occurs in my life has to be measured against this big God. Do you have a big God? Amen. He wants to become bigger. All right? And bigger. And bigger and bigger. All right? Because it's absolutely true. All of us are going to be challenged on the road. On our road, and we have to have an ever increasing bigger God, right? We must believe. That's a must. That's not a maybe. It's a must. We believe that He exists, and all that's about Him. Take your Bible study. Find out everything about Him. He's amazing. Three men said, I will not bow down to Baal were thrown into a furnace, and Jesus joined them, and they walked out unscathed. One man said, "No way will I stop praying," and he was thrown in a den with hungry lions, and they had no appetite for him. There is Paul was in jail for his faith and suffering the consequences that the world put on him. And he chose to sing and rejoice, and all the doors opened, and everybody was saved, and they walked out. The stories can go on. You can read a whole list in the book of Hebrews. Read a whole list. It's right there for all of us. These testimonies are for all of us. Every one of us. He's a big God. He exists. And we must believe that. And it didn't end there. And he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Do you and I believe that this happy God over us, when he sees us going through difficulties, says, "Follow my lead. Follow my lead in this, because I carry a reward." And his reward is so much. I remember I went to a Lutheran grade school, and when we did things right, the teacher would get one of these little sticky stars and put a star in the, and you got so many stars, Man, I'm achieving all these stars. Following God's lead in our life comes with a reward. And we need to patiently wait upon him as he distributes that reward. You know what? Some of that reward can come quickly. Some of that reward may wait until the time we be with him forever. But whether they come quickly or whether they're when we're with him forever and ever and ever, God knows they're still coming. Either way, they're on the way. They're on the way. So whatever trial, I believe that God exists. I have faith in who he is. I want to grow him bigger in my life, knowing that he loves me, and he says in his word, he will reward right living. He will reward right living. Oh, man. So then it says in verse 12 of 2 Thessalonians, "We pray this so that the name of the Lord may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." So he's kind of ending this chapter saying, first acknowledging who they were, teaching them how to respond correctly with persecution and trouble, telling them that he's with them, increasing their faith in what to do in situations. And then he says, "We're praying for you. We're praying for you that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you." That all these things he's talking about will become part of your life. Your life. It'll become your individual life. This will be your power source. It'll identify you. And you in him, according to the grace of God. Another way of saying grace is the unmerited favor of God. When you and I gave our life to Jesus, we no longer have demand on our life. Get this right. You better get this right. If you mess up, I remember going to the Greek Orthodox Church when I was little, and my mother squeezed my side and pinched me because I was a rascal. And there was this, in that Greek Orthodox Church, there was a big eyeball. It was up there with choo, like lightning coming out of it. My mother squeezed me and twisted and said, "He's looking at you. He's looking at you. You better behave here or he's going to get you." You know what? That was demand. God is all about supply. I said, for God so loved the world, he gave. And guess what? When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, the giving didn't stop there. He's still giving.
Amen.
He's still giving. And you can go to that, you and I can go to that throne of grace with confidence, not because our good performance or bad performance, because all about who he is. Who he is. Wow, we can go before him and say, "Yeah, Lord, here I am." And if we ever get that prayer life to say, "Lord, I'm just not worthy of your love," he'll come back to you and say, "Son, daughter, I made you worthy. I made you worthy to receive all that I have." And in closing, I thought it was very important that we take a piece from last week. A piece of what we learned last week. And we actually make it part of our lives. Actually ask God to make it real, a real defined part of our life. And that's the three things we mentioned last week. I don't know if you remember them. You know what it says? I remember a guy was walking out of church and he's heading out to his car and he's talking to his wife. He says, "Man, I love that church, man. I love that. It was, man, the pastor, he was really good. He was really, I can't remember a word he said, but it was good. It was really good, and it really, man, wow, shoo." You know, and it's the idea God is giving instruction for us to have ears to hear, receive in our heart, and make it part of our life. Make it part of our life. That's a whole part of assembling one another together, because there's a benefit here. And we can leave here and forget it, or we can leave and... that's all right. We can leave here and forget it. Or we can leave here, receive it, and ask God to increase. That's our choice. We can do that. You know? So the things we looked at last week that I want to end this message with, are very important for our character building and who we are as the body of Christ. Those three things, if you've forgotten, I'm going to remind you, is rejoice always. Rejoice always. We, as believers, can never allow, when we allow it, it takes away our joy. We cannot allow a word spoken to us, a prognosis given to us, a lack may know, that we're going through, rob us of joy. It's a fruit of knowing him. And you know what? I've got cut off the road, and for a moment, my joy was robbed from me. But knowing this, teaching this, and knowing this, and living this out, I come back real quick. My brother, who is having a real difficulty now with some memory stuff and things like that, and I'm growing patience because I have to pick him up. He can't drive now because he's seeing double, and I always ask him which one is more handsome of me. So I have to take him to work and drive him home. I try and get my other brother to help out, but he doesn't show up to work till about 11 o'clock. I'd like to get in at 6 or 7 in the morning, and it just cost me an extra half an hour to pick him up. And I when you're past that. When I get up in the morning, boo, it's go, man. I am dressed out of the door, roaring to go, and that's me. They call us a morning person. My wife is a night person. It's been a real issue in our marriage in saying, you know, she likes to stay up all night, and I get up in the morning, and like I shared last Sunday, I received a revelation from God, and I happened to be home, and she was still sleeping, and I was struggling with patience, man. She's got to hear this. This is so cool. This is so good. But I better not wake her up, because she doesn't like to get waked up early in the morning. And then I found out, Jonathan, you're here. Listen, dude, man. I what they call a butt call. I threw my phone and I called him at 6:30 in the morning, and the guy said, "Yo, Byron, you know better than call me at 6:30 in the morning." I know. I learned from my wife. So I told him, Jonathan, you're listening. I didn't mean to call you at 6:30. We already cleared that up. It was just an accidental call. But I wake up ready to go. And it doesn't take me long to get ready and out of the house and get on that journey, because I love hearing from God while I'm driving. I told you last Sunday, you know, the next one is about praying. When you pray in the car, don't close your eyes. Please, all right? So, but waking up in the morning ready to go, and rejoicing in knowing that I'm a wonderfully, beautifully loved man by the Son of God. Now, taking my brother home this week, and he was surprised, because all of a sudden, we're getting close to his house, and this pickup truck packs past me, kind of slows down alongside of me, and he starts beeping his horn. I said, "Whoa, cool." And I looked at him, and he raised that certain finger up at me. And I started laughing. And Peter says, "What's wrong with him?" "I don't know what's wrong with him, but he's not going to rob my joy." But you know what, that might be incidental things, but you know what, the enemy's out to take your joy away, guys, and you can't let him. You have to consciously think, the joy of the Lord's my strength, and I'm not going to let those close to me, those far away from me, those on the job with me, or whatever, I am not going to let them. I have made up my mind, I am not going to let them steal my joy. Because my joy comes from the Lord. And it's amazing. He is amazingly capable to sustain that. So we learned in a seminar, they say the same, bricks and stone may hurt my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not true. Because words can, if we allow. They can, if we allow. And you and I, we'll have moments, I've had moments where I've allowed it. But I'd rather have my joy cup full than allow somebody to rob that joy from me. So, Father, I'm going to pray over each one of these. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for filling our lives with joy. And Father God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that we will be a people who will never allow circumstances, things that happen in our life, words that people have spoken over us, to rob us of that joy. I thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, I want the people in this church to be operating and full of your joy, because it's connected with strength to live, to be operational 24/7. In Jesus' name, amen. Secondly, it says, pray continually. And you know what? We set times in this church where we come and pray, 8:30, 9:30. Jerry, he one time came here late at night and prayed, and we set a appropriate times to pray, but you can pray anytime. God's throne of grace and mercy is open to us anytime. He doesn't say, I got a time limit on this. But what's behind praying continually? What's behind that is preserving our intimacy with Jesus. And being very careful to keep that intimacy alive and well. And the way that's done, there's no other friend like Jesus. In fact, Jesus one time said, you know, don't call me, you know, your master. Call me your friend. An amazing thing that Jesus spoke out. He wanted followers of him to consider him the best friend they could ever have. And a friend will never say, you know, it's too late. Don't come over. You know, try a different time. I'll meet with you tomorrow. Or a friend is there all the time for you. And in the Proverbs it says, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I believe Solomon was pointing to the day that Jesus would come, redeem us from ourselves, give his life perfectly for us, and then declare himself our friend. So, praying continually is all about maintaining that intimacy with him. And he never tires of hearing from us. He never, oh man, I'm calling you again. I just remembered something years ago. My mother, like I said, I was a rascal in the family. And I was the last one to come to Jesus in my family. And I did a lot of messy stuff between there and then. But my mother, back in, Jonathan, this is for you, back in the day. You know, he likes that term. Back in the day, my mother was calling up. They had a thing on WMBI radio where it said, you know, go to the pastor or offer it way back in the 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, where you could call in for prayer. And my mother was calling every day, if not twice a day. And they would answer the phone, and she would say, please pray for Byron. Please pray for Byron. And now they got to know her. They got to know her. The phone rang. Hi, Helen, what's up? Could you pray for Byron? Well, you know what? God heard you the first time. And they were worn out by her calling to WMBI radio to pray for me. They said, it's done. You don't have to just keep repeating this. But you know what? They might have got tired, but Jesus never gets tired. He never, ever would come out of his mouth, oh, not you again. He's always welcoming. He's always there to hear, but also there to do. We may not see happening what we're bringing before him, but be assured something is happening. We walk by faith, not by sight. We can bring before him, and we're looking for stuff, and it may not seem like it's happening, but be assured it's happening. Not only is it's happening in a perfect way. Not like you and I could figure it out, but about the Almighty God that knows all things, how he knows how to make it come to pass. And especially when we're praying for loved ones that don't know Jesus, man, that's his heart. That's his heart. So, I'm going to pray over you. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, take everyone in this room to a next level. Wherever they are in prayer, take them to the next level. Father God, remind them daily that you never are weary of their calling upon you. Father God, whether it's something that needs to be done and you're repeating it over and over again, he has ears to hear you, he knows your situation, and he's a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. Father God, I ask you, Father, to raise up the level of prayer and communication. And in doing that, Father, I ask you to raise the level of our intimacy with Jesus. He is the best friend we'll ever have. He is the friend that will never disappoint. Those who call upon the name of the Lord, the word said, will never be disappointed. So raise up our level of seeking and talking and communicating with you with praise, petitions, requests, and all. You're never tired of hearing it. And Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you're continually working on our behalf. I pray for that increase in Jesus' name. Then lastly, give thanks in all circumstances. If we're struggling with that, God wants to set you free. God wants, and when he says every circumstance, that means every circumstance. Everyone. To actually, maybe there are some words that were very hurtful spoken over you, thank him for it. And maybe even go and ask him, what are you calling me to do in this situation? What's your heart in this? How do you want to minister to me when I've been hurt by words? Give thanks, not in some of the circumstances, all of the circumstances. And just go read the book of Acts and see a man, the Apostle Paul, that went through hardship after hardship and beatings and imprisonment and all that, and he all gave glory to God. It was a thankful spirit for whatever happened. You know, in the prophecy time yesterday, I saw this picture of, you know, it's, I think it's a good illustration of this. They were on a ship going to Rome. Paul gave the captain and said, dude, you shouldn't travel now. It's this time of season. There could be really bad weather out there, and I don't think you should go here. And the captain, out of pride, said, I don't care, dude. You're not a sailor. You don't know what... We're going to get this ship where we're going, and I'm going to take this route no matter what you said. I don't care what you said. We're going to take this route. And then all of a sudden, they were caught in a big storm. Paul could have said, I told you so. He could have had all different... But I'm sure in that situation, Paul was thanking God for all circumstances. Then fear gripped the whole ship. And they said, this storm is going to tear the ship apart. Now, what comes out of a thankful heart is a solution for the problem. That's what comes out. When you're thankful in all circumstances, then you're open for God to give you the solution to the problem. So he told the captain, start emptying throw everything overboard. Yeah, oh man, but that's all our goods. Throw them all overboard. Now the captain's kind of paying attention to him. You know, all right, guys, throw everything overboard. And the ship start drifting over towards an island called Malta. And people, the boat is getting full of water. The storm is horrific. And fear grips the people. Out of a heart of thanksgiving for all things and being thankful for all the circumstances you're going through life, even though it's a horrific storm, you can paint that picture for yourself. What are the horrific storms you've been through? whatever they are, turmoils, whatever they are, and you saw his faithfulness, and his faithfulness will go forward for the next storm. See, God never promised we won't go through storms, but he said we'll get through them. So, he tells everybody on the ship, there will not be one loss of life, guys. And they heard him say that. And what happened? The ship crashed on some rocks near an island called Malta. And one by one, with the debris of the ship, they made their way to shore. Not one life lost. And part of that root of all that happening is be thankful in every circumstance, even the storms of life. Even when you're facing that person with arrogance and pride that won't listen to you when you know the truth, and they won't listen to you, you thank God for that, because God has a plan. And that plan was fulfilled in many people on that island. He got, you think getting shipwrecked was enough? They're all wet and cold, and they put a fire, and they're all hanging around a fire, and out comes a viper, and latches on Paul, and he whips it off, and people are all, he's going to die. Like the M&Ms. They're all going to die. No. and he didn't. And then they said, why? Who are you that nothing you're saved from the shipwreck, everyone was saved, and now you a terribly venomous snake bit you and nothing's happening? And Paul said, that opened the door. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. It all came from not a bad response towards an arrogant captain. A response for a fear-filled ship. Doing the right thing, riding, landing at the right place, and people from that island came to know Jesus. So is it important? Is it important to be thankful in every consequence, everything? Yes, it is. I want to pray that over you. Father God, as much as you want our joy cup full, as much as you want intimacy with us, I pray over our church and this body of believers that we will take note of being thankful in every consequence of life. Father God, that we will see you working in that situation. We will see your grace and unmerited favor. And Father God, I ask you that the Holy Spirit will empower everyone in this room to grab a hold of a thankful heart for whatever is happening. And that they will see the result of that thankful heart as you work through the people around them and the circumstances that are going on. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our worship leaders need to come up here. And we started this service with a psalm and saying, God is the God to be praised and worshiped and thanked, and raising our hands and praising him and thanking him. Now it's the time as we worship together, as we heard from one another, as we shared communion with each other, as we heard the word of God, it's time to say, thank you, God, and we want to worship you from our heart in spirit and truth. Amen? Amen? Where's our... You solo? She's watching. You're good. You're good. So, Father God, I praise God for Fine and bless him as he leads us into worshiping you in Jesus' name. Amen.